The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Well, we made it to the final hour of the week, and what a week it has been with the ACC, the Pac-12, and of course yesterday the SEC sharing their plans. We had Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby on yesterday. They meet on Monday. We should know then whether they're going to play 3 weeks or maybe 4 weeks ahead of everyone else and have the stage to themselves, or they're going to get in line. The one school, one conference we haven't heard much from, but we've heard a lot about, is the Big Ten. Remember, they were the first to announce they would start late and play a conference-only schedule, and we are waiting for more information. And who better than Tim May, who has covered the Big Ten for more than 40 years. Tim, it is great to have you back on the program. We trust you've been well since the last time we spoke.
Yeah, I have been, Paul. I've been trying to keep myself, except I am playing golf because I'm not a total hermit. But other than that, I've been trying to – I was wearing masks before they were fashionable. As a matter of fact, I think a lot of people thought I was wearing a mask when I wasn't wearing one, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was with you a couple of years ago in Columbus in an event. I'm pretty sure you had one on. and that was only to cover your eyes because the Buckeyes had blown a national championship the day before against Michigan State. Let me get your thoughts,
I heard that rim shot, too, man. Kubiak's good with those rim shots. Go ahead now.
Okay. I can't get a straight answer out of anyone near the Big Ten because there have been some conflicting stories, a lot of uncertainty. You know that league inside and out. What's your best guess? What is going on there right now?
I think they're waiting to let the reason they're getting a straight answer is because there's really – not a straight question to ask yet. They keep kicking the can down the road, maybe the best way of putting it, but it's kind of a euphemism for all the information isn't in yet. And I think with this COVID-19, like I've been telling people, until a vaccine comes along, I'm not sure you're ever going to get definitive feel for where this thing could go from the standpoint of flaring back up again, whether it's in a locker room or in a restaurant or in a classroom. So, it's hard for anybody to give you straight answers. It's, from what you saw the letter that Kevin Warren sent out to all the ADs in the last 24 hours, basically saying that, they're going to maybe next week look at some things on whether they should, in fact, push the start of preseason camps back, meaning, August 7th was when Ohio State and all these teams were going to start their camps, which is, Friday of next week. And so that tells you that maybe they're thinking that they're going to push camps back. So that means if you're going to push the start of camps back, you're going to push the start of a season back, if you follow my drift. But that wasn't actually said in that because, the Big Ten, when they first came out with the fact that they were going to go intramural with their scheduling. By the way, I wrote a story about this on lettermanrow.com like 3 months ago that I anticipated the Power Fives all going to intramural scheduling just because that's what made sense in terms of, being able to maybe know what your neighbor is doing, as opposed to counting on somebody all the way across the country. But I digress. The bottom line is, it's confusing only from the sense that you can't get to an answer until you know finally what the question is. And so the fact that they've now said that they may come out with the schedules, but you can't come out with the schedules really until you know when you're going to start. So I'm not sure the schedules for like fall sports are coming out like some people think they are in the next 24 or 48 hours. But, as you know, Paul, you've been on top of this from day one. Every day is a new story when it comes to this thing.
And maybe I don't know Kevin Warren well enough, but I feel like I know him moderately well. I heard a lot of caution in that letter, Tim, and it wasn't positive either.
Yeah. Well, I thought that Gene Smith summed it up pretty well a couple of weeks ago when he was on a teleconference with all of us, when he said, when he was on previous with us, like a month and a half earlier, he was cautiously optimistic, and now he's not really, and this is like a couple of weeks ago, now he can't really say that because, there's been this recurrence and this I don't know if you call it a flare-up. It may just be a continuation of the COVID-19 run through our country. But that's why these guys are being very cautious because, you know, they're human, Paul. I mean, they're sitting there and listening to people, I'm sure, who are saying, well, these Power Five schools, conferences, they're going to plow ahead and have a season no matter what, you know, just because of the money and the fact you got to play football and stuff. And but they're also hearing the other side of, well, how essential is football, et cetera. And you and I both know that this isn't like 30 years ago. Major college sports are huge businesses, especially in the cities where those colleges are, and even in the states. And like I've said, man, you take some of these Power Five teams, and if you took them, their athletic programs out of an economy in a town for a year, it's kind of like taking an Air Force base and shutting it down, you know? It's kind of the same impact. So, matter of fact, even bigger. So, you know, they're being cautious. They also know people know that there are young people involved in this thing who, you know, can get sick from this if things aren't handled correctly. They may get sick anyway. They may get sick from their next-door neighbor. You know, you don't know where it's, you know, where it is, but you don't want to be in the final analysis that one person or entity where people are all pointing the finger. And I'm not even sure what finger they'd be pointing.
Yeah, Tim, everything is a guess right now, of course, but you're pretty learned student of watching this unfold. And, you know, you mentioned you can't even say cautiously optimistic, which is a waste of human breath anyway to say that. But right now, do you believe 19th or 26th, whatever it is for the Big Ten and everyone else, do you really think the season will start on that date?
I do. I mean, I didn't just come on your show, you know, without doing homework. You know what I'm saying? And I don't just go through life without doing homework. I talk to people. I think there is the feeling that they can produce, you know, a football, whether it's a season or whether it's two games or whatever. I think there is a sense that they can handle their responsibilities. I'm talking about the schools, the teams, in terms of you know, the atmosphere or the climate you're going to put these players and coaches in preparation for, and then a game. But whether there's going to be an 8 or 10 game season, you know, Paul, that literally, and I know you know this, that's literally going to be a week to week phenomenon we're going to watch. Whether, you know, you can produce a team that can play. Like I posed this question to Gene Smith a couple of weeks ago. I said, you know, on the one hand, if you only have 4 players on your team who test positive for COVID that one week, you can you could say, well, you should be able to play. But if those 4 guys are all 4 of your quarterbacks, you can't, you know. So what are going to be the parameters, or what are going to be the guidelines or the rules that determine whether a team is healthy enough to play that week, you know? And they're going to have to come to a consensus on that. And so that's, you know, there are all these just little nuances to this thing that are, once you answer one question, you open up Pandora's box for like 20 others.
Tim, Ohio State's one of the largest universities in the country. I don't know, you tell me how many students are on that campus. And I realize
55,000, yeah.
Pretty unbelievable. I know that there are all kinds of different hybrid plans and online, offline, but I keep being told by people that students are going to be on campus, whether they technically sit in a classroom or not. What's the word from Ohio State?
Yeah, there's no totally definitive word yet in that regard, the way I understand it. But, you know, the other part about this dynamic, and you know this, you know, it's almost, you know, you get the sense it's almost more important for the figuring out a way students can come back to campus than it is whether you have sports or not. And and, you know, and I'm not talking about tail wagging dog and all that kind of stuff. You know, colleges, these modern day colleges are built to have thousands of students in and around campus, you know, from from the cafeterias to the dorms to, you know, everything else involved. And then, but, you know, I think what opened everybody's eyes, you know, most of the major colleges out there, I think, finally ended up with online classes the last half or last part of spring semesters. And I think that opened everybody's eyes up to there is an alternative. You know, we all know that, you know, there's all kinds of stories, you know, over the last several years of players, you know, taking online courses. Even I'm talking about student athletes taking online courses, even though they're not, they are students and they're full-time guys, but you don't necessarily have to be in a classroom to be taking a class. And so I think they're still toying that, but like in Ohio, you know, so much depends on what the governor Mike DeWine and his people decide on what the rules, you know, the rules are going to be in terms of classes, how classes will, you know, what will be the distancing and things like that. So until you get final definitive word on that, you like I said, you can't come up with a final answer.
Yeah, we talked to the governor of Ohio a couple of weeks ago. I really liked him, by the way, Tim, and you know, he's a Buckeye fan, as you know, and he didn't have a clue, which is the operational phrase. So let me, assuming we have a season, and assuming it goes according to plan, how good are the Buckeyes going to be?
Well, this is a total. I'm talking about a total group. This is as good an assemblage of talent as pretty much I've covered at Ohio State, and I started covering the Buckeyes full time in 1984. And I'm talking about from a depth standpoint. They've got some problems, not problems, some question mark in the defensive secondary, you know. But they do have Sean Wade back there, and that was a big deal. So they got, you know, one of the four starters. But you know, they get that figured out. They've got quality, and by that I mean four and five star personnel throughout the depth chart at almost every position. And they may have the best quarterback in the country, definitely in the running for top two or three quarterbacks in the country, in Justin Fields. And man, when you start with a guy like that, you can go places. So this, it's, you know, this is the flip side of it. You want everybody to be safe, but you know, and I think this goes for Alabama fans too. They know they've got a hell of a team, you know, but you would really like to see this team play. So you know, that's sort of the dynamic that's involved here. That's part of the dynamic involved here, is you want everybody to be safe, but my goodness, man, can you really picture in your mind, if you're a college football fan like I am, like I've always been since I was born in Alabama, can you picture a fall without football? It's crazy. The question is, like I said, I think there's going to be football. I think there's probably going to be a move to try to get like the rivalry games. I said this on my podcast a couple of weeks ago, that I would think it would make sense to play, you know, Ohio State, Michigan in the first two or three games, just so you at least get that game in, you know, and continue that.
So Tim, do you think that could happen? You know, do you think that game could be moved up?
I think they're definitely, the way I understand, I think they're definitely thinking along those lines. You know, and there've been Teddy Greenstein from Chicago Tribune. You know, he forecast some of the things that he saw could be coming when the Big Ten finally gets around to making its call. But I definitely believe that could be the case, because you know, you want to have something that's traditional somewhere in this thing. And you know, it hasn't always ended its regular season with Michigan. It's just done so since what, like 1942 or something.
Great to have you on, always, Tim. Be safe, and let's talk soon when we get closer to the quote-unquote season.
And by the way, you didn't even ask me the question. You prefaced with me on my when you guys were getting content. I get the feeling there's no movement right now of thinking about a spring football season, at least in the Big Ten. And so we'll see where that goes. I could be proven wrong, but that's from people I'm talking to. You know, there would be a lot of hoops jumping to make that happen.
You're right. That came and went like a comet. Tim, be well. Talk to you soon.
When your star players might not want to play, that kind of changes everything. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. Tim May joining us from Columbus. We are taking a break. Your phone calls the rest of the way.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back on the program, Sean is up next in Dallas, Texas on this Friday. Hey, Sean, great to have you on.
Hey, how you doing there, Paul? Sean here from Dallas, longtime listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I'll premise this with this. My oldest son is a walk-on redshirt junior at Texas A&M.
Oh, wow.
And one of the questions I had for Chris Hinton, and obviously you're not able to answer for him, as of what's going on in the Pac-12 and then also the Big Ten, because we've had much reassurance and protocol walkthroughs and Zoom meetings with the A&M staff. And I can tell you right now, they don't all have to be down there. But I think it's actually at 100% of the players' parents after our calls and meetings have decided that's the best place for them. That being said, if he's that concerned, how would he let them get on a flight and then fly out there to be at those schools?
Yeah, not only that, he took his son to Stanford. So, it's a great question that you've raised, Sean, and I've wondered about that with Chris. I mean, I'm really – it's wonderful that he and his wife are concerned, and I don't mean to be critical, but, I mean, here's someone – his wife is an attorney. He is a longtime NFL football player, and I think you would agree here. You know, the home that he's able to provide is probably a little safer than some homes of players, and that's just the truth.
Yeah, absolutely correct. And knowing that, and I would think that the Pac-12 and Big Ten also gave the options, just like the coaching staff at A&M did and the SEC, that they didn't have to report now. After doing the assessment, I know what my 20-year-old has been doing up here when he was home versus being down there with the proper testing, everything that's going on from a day-to-day basis and from a safety standpoint.
You can tell me better than I can, Sean. I don't think I think the protocols at all these places is fantastic, and it's fantastic in Major League Baseball, but what we're going to find out with the Marlins these guys went out to a bar. And that's how they got infected, and that's the problem in college too. You know it better than I do. If these players will behave, which is not easy to tell a 19-year-old to do, they're going to be great. But if they don't, then who knows where we go?
Yeah, and I'll kind of elaborate on that from a parenting standpoint. When he's home with, and nothing against non-athletes and non-football players, the people that were holding him accountable were other people that weren't on his football team and wanted to have a season happen. So as far as going out and getting out into the bars and doing things like that, there was no real accountability level, where the coaching staff at A&M made it very clear that they have another 105 guys on that roster who are now holding each other accountable, which, as we know, peer accountability does a lot more than parent accountability, at least in my home and probably most homes out there, you know.
Yeah, and I agree. I'm hopeful that in a couple of weeks, and I know you are as well, that when you see this convergence of 15, 20, 30,000 students that are all finally out from their parents' basement, what is going to happen?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I mean, and that's the, again, I think by having it with the precautions that are going up, the standards, the testing that's going on, I don't need to get into details, but as a parent, again, I feel very, very safe, and if I didn't, it would be very difficult for me to say I don't feel safe with it and then to send my son down there when we did.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that. That's an invaluable conversation to have. Sean, you be well, and let's hope for the best with your son at A&M. I know he's in good shape down there. Terry is in San Jose. Go right ahead. Hey, Terry.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Paul. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
A couple of things. Yesterday, you referred to the Pac-12 as Staten Island of the big of the five conferences. And you're probably right, but I have a little bit of beef on that thing. You take Clemson out of the equation in the Atlantic Coast. Are they really that good top to bottom?
No, they're not. Not anymore. They used to
Florida
be.
Florida State, Miami really have fallen on hard times. Boston College, even Louisville. I look at all the Georgia Tech, all the schools. It looks like a lot of mediocrity to me.
It is a lot of mediocrity, and it's fairly shocking because it wasn't that long ago you had Virginia Tech, Miami, Florida State, Louisville with Lamar Jackson. That was a really great league.
I agree. But that was just that was a while ago, just like you said.
It was 3 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and my other question to you is, now that the SEC is going to play 10 conference games, do you think the fans are going to demand that the conference play those kind of games? Because obviously the ratings will be higher than playing some of the cupcakes that they do, especially at the end of the season. Do you think they're going to want to have 9 and 10 game conference games?
I think fans will, and I've had this conversation with the commissioner and other people in the SEC many, many times. It's not only the administrators that have been against it. The head coaches have been against it. Nick Saban made this presentation or a proposal about 10 years ago, maybe longer, to play 9 conference games like pretty much everyone else. And let me ask you a question. Do you have any idea why some of the coaches don't want to do it?
Maybe the fact that they got a better chance of getting defeated
on a week-to-week basis. Terry, it is simple math.
Nobody wants to see Citadel played at second to the last game of the season. They'd rather see a big-time game.
I agree, but here's the mathematical equation that a third grader could get. You have 14 schools. You add one more game, that's 7 more losses. And if you're one of these schools that try to get to a bowl game every year and you lose that game and don't get one, your job is going to be on the line, because a lot of the standards are being bowl eligible, not winning the SEC championship. And I think it's too bad. I would much rather see an extra game than not to embarrass any school out there that needs the money, but I don't need to see another William and Mary or South Dakota A&M.
It's their livelihood. They get the big paydays from the big conferences, and maybe if we don't have those kind of games, we're going to see some of those smaller schools and their sports programs.
I will tell you a quick story before you go. A couple of years ago, somebody, I don't remember, we were at a game doing a show, and somebody got sick or something, and they asked me, of all people, if I could be a sideline reporter at one of those early 12 o'clock games. So I said, sure, I'm already there. And the game was between South Carolina and the Citadel. And the night before, I mean, we spent most of the time preparing for what happens when there is a blowout. Guess what happened? Citadel upset South Carolina.
Every now and then.
I'm sitting there running after the Citadel coach after the game, and I wasn't even sure what his name was. Anyway, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. We're heading to a break. Back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. Jimmy is up next in Georgia. Hey, Jimmy, thank you, and good afternoon to you.
Hey, man, how are you doing?
We are doing great.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm a high school coach in Georgia, and I was just wanting to talk to you about just a situation that I thought could come up with waivers for high school, college. I mean, why do you think that people aren't allowed to sign waivers to play, to go to school? Just why do you think that those aren't options for us to have?
Yeah, Coach, I think initially they were out there, then there was such a negative reaction, including Congress getting involved, so I think most of the schools pulled them off the table. Do you think – I'm curious what your opinion of them is.
I mean, majority of the kids I coach want to play. Majority of the kids that I know that want to go to school want to go to school. So I think it's just a major issue for a lot of kids to have to choose. And I feel like they're being torn by their parents, by their families on what to do.
I'm curious what, we're getting ready for the school year, I presume. What are you hearing from your administrators?
Well, from where I'm at, we're starting next week. So virtual or in attendance.
What does it mean for the athletic side of it?
For the athletic side, they have the right to choose whether or not they want to play, if they're virtual or not. And then football is supposed to start. You know, it got moved back 2 weeks late, a couple weeks ago, so it's late August.
I'm curious because we spent so much time on football, but basketball is just around the corner too, and I really haven't heard much discussion about whether being indoor presents any more challenges. What do you hear on that?
I mean, as a basketball coach. Personally, as a head basketball coach, we've heard nothing. But, I mean, we're probably expecting maybe early January. I mean, but okay. Nobody said that. That's just me talking. But I think, you know, football in Georgia has basically gone back to late December for their championships right now.
Okay. Yeah, because I've asked a couple of commissioners the basketball question, and it's like I'm asking a foreign language, but you know better than me. Once football starts, basketball is next.
Yeah, and I mean, we've had no definitive answer on anything, but, you know, it's too far in advance for anybody to choose or pick on what's going to happen because too much can happen. But I just feel like the waiver situation would fix a lot of things, but I guess that's just my concern.
Yeah, I will tell you right now, Coach, I don't think you're going to see waivers because whether the schools wanted to or not, they were so widely criticized that even Mark Emmert, the head of the NCAA, came down on them. So that is not going to happen right now.
Well, I hate that, but I appreciate you.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for sharing, and hope you stay in touch, and I hope you get your season. And really good to hear from you. Manny is up next. Manny, our friend from Tuscaloosa. Hey, Manny.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing great. How are you?
Okay. I'm doing well. Well, I'm doing kind of well. I've got two things I'd like to bring up to you for the end of this week, if you don't mind. It's all about the reopening. If you give me just a few minutes, it's going to be a short little lecture on what I do at the university. First, if I could congratulate Mr. Hinton, I am so glad that he and then your other caller came in with perspective of the parents. We have really been wanting them to speak up and hear what they're thinking and saying. And we do appreciate what he's going through, and I give him a big thumbs up, and my heart goes out to him and his wife for what they're having to think about and consider for their sons. So I thought he was an excellent call. Now, as far as the faculty's perspective goes, my job is to analyze and interpret data. So I just want to run a couple of things down. First, let me say that when we say faculty and staff are fans of the University of Alabama football program and all of our sports, all of our young men and women, we are fans not in the traditional way. We are teachers and staff members because we watch and help young people mature into adults. They're in the twilight zone. We help them get through. When Sean Alexander stepped on the field and scored all those touchdowns to make the big comeback all those years ago, we watched a young man become a man, and that is why we're there. We love it, and that's what makes college football different than the NFL. We watch young people grow up in front of our eyes. So let me say that to start with. Now, the point I want to make, and here's your statistical analysis, is this, and it's about the dates of opening school August 19th and starting football September 26th. Now, several faculty members, this is not a suggestion or conspiracy theory from me, several faculty members have observed what we all know about how the machinery works, which is this. Our enrollment is down. There is a budget cut. I discussed that to you last week. We are down at a projection of 3,000 out-of-state students, mostly freshmen, and each one of those represents a tuition income of $30,000 a year. Do the math, $90 million. All right, that's what it's at stake. Now, we know that our school moves in lockstep largely with our sports, largely within those sports with football. We are a football school. That's why students come. That is the SEC, not just Alabama, and that is other conferences too. So there's $90 million at stake, and here's the piece of the machinery that I don't think you guys understand. When students, this sounds awful, and I'm sorry to even say it, but when students come to campus, they have 2 weeks to decide whether or not to withdraw and get a refund or pay in full. All right? And so football draws them there. We keep them there for at least 2 weeks, and then whatever happens with football and students happens, the tuition is locked up. So I hate to sound on a downer note like that, but several of us observe that that's how it's all working, and that we love our presidents and our admin, but there's not a lot of say from the faculty in this, and we're just hoping right now that we can protect our students, not get caught up in the money, and that the wisest of heads will prevail.
So hey, thank you. I hate to run, Manny. I always enjoy the conversation, but I think you just nailed it right there. You came up with the Da Vinci Code, so to speak, on why we're doing what we're doing.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, we made it to the end of the week. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We will see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.